about a criminal mind's political ties, habitualized alibis, disguise another guy's democracy, politics of the apocalypse. Got the skies looking ominous. So the ocean burn bright with waves full of poison. Genocide wars fall for little boys, and the weapons manufactured paid for by taxes, while the bridges and the levees and the mines collapsing. All the prisons build the capacity citizens. And the times when the master thief can find and conquer, steal a masterpiece. Open your eyes and realize what's happening. Times running out to reach all potential. If you ain't at the table, then you're probably on the menu.
We got that love of lift up brothers and our sisters.
Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Greg McVicker, creator of Undercurrents, and this is KBOO 90.7 Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO. In accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Executive Committee meets on the second Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. Meetings are held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify that a meeting is being held.
KBOO is hosting the first Friday's Arts Walk on October 4th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. We'll have local artists, vendors, food, drinks, music, station tours, and more. Join us at 20 Southeast 8th Ave in Portland, Oregon for an evening of culture and fun. Hope to see you there.
KBOO.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Let's Talk. Let's Talk is a space for students from Portland Community College experiencing disabilities to discuss perspectives, ideas, and worldviews in an inclusive and accessible environment. We broadcast bi-weekly on our home webpage,
pcc.edu/DCA, and bi-monthly right here on KBOO, 90.7 FM. Today, the first Friday of the month, so we're having a live roundtable discussion. As a reminder, the views and opinions experienced during this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions or positions of Portland Community College, PCC Foundation, or KBOO FM. My name is Miguel Chavez. I am the podcast tech with the Let's Talk podcast. In the podcast collective, inside here the studio with me is Asher and Amanda. Say hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. Good morning. Hope everyone's doing well. So today we are excited to talk about our upcoming YouTube series, Living with Blindness, which introduces new intern and host of the Let's Talk podcast collective, Andrew Kobus, who is also a representative of the Oregon Commission for the Blind. He, Miguel Chavez, and Anne Verdine talk about their everyday life as blind and low vision individuals, sharing their stories, advocating for accessible technology, and spreading awareness for the blind community.
Yeah, and I'm personally very excited to ask you both about this series because I've been mainly on the outside kind of focusing on other projects. So, and with White Cane Safety Day coming up on October 15th, I think this is a great opportunity to talk about the series.
Yeah,
so, So getting into it, can you tell us about the YouTube series Living with Blindness? What does the series revolve around and what do you hope the public will take away from it?
What do you think, Miguel?
So, Living with Blindness was a project that Andrew helped us and Anne to build in order to kind of build community a little bit more. And we wanted to discuss certain topics and issues that we were struggling with. And it was honestly a very good experience for all of us because we all got to kind of experience the different perspectives in life, values we all come from. And all three of us come from very different backgrounds and we're in different stages of our lives. And so it was just a really good opportunity for us to just share those experiences with the public and kind of bring awareness and advocacy. And that's how it really started. And we were super excited to always have a show on Thursdays with lots of little props that we would have on air with us. So that was pretty amazing. And I personally felt like I got to experience and share my story a little more and kind of more in a free setting of being in front of a camera can be quite nervous and sometimes. And so it was just a great opportunity for us to share it with the public and kind of share that we are also into media as well. So that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, no, Miguel, you are awesome in front of camera, honestly.
Thank you.
I'm Asher, by the way. I forgot to introduce myself. I think me and Amanda forgot to introduce ourselves.
Yeah,
it's
I
okay.
yeah, I did too. Guilty.
Yeah, no. Well, I'm Asher. I'm an audio tech for the Let's Talk Podcast Collective, and I was also there helping Miguel and Andrew record for the Living with Blindness YouTube series that we're so excited to put up into YouTube land. But yeah, it was really cool to just hear about how the three of them traveled, did transportation, and lived everyday life and, like, even experienced through, like, technology and just, like, really fun stories overall. Yeah.
So as a follow-up question to what I just asked, what would you say was your favorite part in filming the series? Like, Miguel, was there, like, a specific aspect of Living with Blindness that you were particularly excited about or that you think is particularly important for the audience to listen to? And Asher, what was your favorite part filming, or was there like a favorite subject you liked filming?
I just love the camaraderie. It was a lot of fun just having that experience. I think one of my favorite parts was sharing about the different technologies we used and how some of them could be helpful with us and how others were quite of annoyance to all three of us. And so that was kind of one of the things that I personally thought was very fun to do, was to share that part of like everyday technology, what we needed to use to be successful inside and outside of the homes and stuff like that. And of course I shared all the different gadgets that I personally use for the technology, and I can't wait for you guys to listen to some of those experiences as well, because I think a lot of people don't realize is that assistive technology can help all of us out regardless of having a disability or not, especially like some of the mapping systems that we use, and so that are really specific and give really good directions. And so like if you're struggle with like having directions or struggle with even having a turn to turn in a more very detailed description, that can help, you know, so many people that need it. And so that was probably one of my favorites, and just doing a lot of the video cuts and editing with Asher here that was pretty fun, and it was just, we just had a blast and always had something to laugh at, you know, while we were recording. And so that was pretty fun. And the bloopers were some of my favorites. So
oh, yeah,
that was really
for
fun
sure.
Too.
The bloopers were fun. I loved the recording process because it's the first time that our collective had a studio on PCC campus. And it was so cool because we had access to all these like new equipment, like camera, lighting, sound and stuff. It was fun to like mess around with them. I especially loved the bloopers and like the B-reels that we We did. And just seeing Andrew, Miguel, and Anne just interact with each other. It was such like a golden moment.
It just felt like we were on TV, you know, type of thing. And like we were just so professionally just there and, you know,
and even if we weren't professional,
you know, but it was, we still had so much fun with it. And I think that was like the most exciting thing of it all is that we just had all this equipment and just being on campus and was just very refreshing, at least for me. And I don't know about for you, Asher, but like for me, it was I hadn't been on a college campus in quite a while. And so, you know, I get to go sometimes to PCC and onto just to have the experience like as a student again. It just makes me smile. So that was pretty much fun for me. I really enjoyed it. And yeah, I would definitely do it again. And hopefully we have more V2 opportunities to do this again.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, I loved it. It was so refreshing to be on campus. And I still have the young look to pass for a student. So it was totally good.
We were talking about that the other day. Yeah. I mean, you and my wife definitely, like, look young enough to be students. And my wife, I, like, am so proud of how my wife in general, but it's, like, I always get self-conscious by how young and beautiful she is. And I'm, like, and I feel like I'm a cradle robber sometimes, even though we're the same age. We're the same age, but people still regularly confuse her for being younger than me.
Oh, gosh.
And kind of going off of what you guys said about kind of feeling like you were on a TV show, Miguel.
Yeah.
And you were like filming a TV show, Asher. So I'm the host of Let's Talk Autism under the Let's Talk Podcast Collective. And it just kind of reminds me of how me and my guests and participants kind of set ourselves up to look more and sound professional, but we end up kind of relaxing throughout the whole process. Correct me if I'm wrong, if that was kind of what happened with you guys. Like, did you guys get used to being on camera or talking?
Did you get used to being on camera, Miguel?
Yeah, used to being on camera. That's a good question. Well, I personally run a YouTube channel of my own. So for me, it was just all, it was natural.
Oh, so you're used to it already.
So I'm used to being on camera and, you know, being mic'd up. You know, it's especially working here, you know, with you guys as a team. And I'm definitely used to having that exposure. And so, you know, I've also done other stuff in the past, you know, like I've done journalism and recording and that type as well, you know, for public spaces. So for me, it wasn't too scary just because I've already had this type of exposure before. And so I felt like in my element, and it was just really nice to be there. But I think as time went on and as the episodes went on, we kind of, Asher's going to remember this, but our first introduction was really bad. And we actually sounding pretty natural at all because we were just so nervous. And I wasn't really sure how to kind of begin because I also, I wanted this to be Andrew's time to shine because he's an intern. And so I wanted him to kind of take, you know, a little bit over in like what questions he wanted to ask, just because I had the experience of having my own channel, I didn't want to take over. And so one of the things that I did was I kind of stepped back and allowed others to take leadership opportunities so they could learn and understand what, you know, things needed to be done. And so that was one of my the blooper moments that was like a little bit hard for us, but we did pretty good. And I'm really proud of all three of us and Asher and the whole team for all that we did to complete a lot of those tasks. And so,
yeah, that sounds like that sounds really awesome. And it sounds like you guys had a lot of fun doing it. Both you, it sounds like Asher, you had a lot of fun filming, and Miguel, it sounds like you and Andrew had fun just filming. I mean, being on camera.
Being on camera. Yeah, being on camera.
Yeah, it just sounds like a fun process in general.
Yeah.
So I mentioned earlier on White Cane Safety Day, which is, Miguel, you probably could give a better explanation of it than me, but basically it's a day kind of celebrating the white canes blind people use to kind of get around and kind of get, like, assess their surroundings. Correct me if I'm wrong. I apologize if that's not a good way to describe it.
Yes.
So, sorry, my question is, how does living with blindness tie in with cultural days like White Cane Awareness Day, and how should the public celebrate it?
You know, that's a really good question. I think living with blindness definitely ties in because it shows, you know, some of the things that we use for, you know, technology, transportation, and White Cane Day, it allows us as blind people to show the world that we are able to do anything that sighted people can do. I mean, maybe not drive a car or drive a plane at that, maybe. But, you know, it allows us to, you know, to be aware and to show people that we are also, you know, able to, you know, cross streets and, you know, have lives just like everyone else. You know, at the end of the day, we're all human and we all have dreams and aspirations and goals. And for me, White Cane Awareness Day is a very important one because it also sheds it sheds light on, you know, being out there in the community and using your cane. And unfortunately, you know, there is a lot of stigmatism and stereotypes about blind people, you know, of how they're portrayed on TV or on movies or on social media, of like, hey, the blind people are superheroes. But we're not. We're humans just like everybody else, and we have faults and, you know, good days and bad days just like all everyone else does. And so White Cane Awareness Day for me is one to remember of like how grateful I am that we get to have, you know, not just canes for us, but, you know, to share and to be out there to fight for transportation rights, because there's some places where, you know, they may not have sidewalks or public transportation. You know, I grew up in an area where I didn't have any of that. So I take all these opportunities. I don't take them for granted, but I'm really grateful that I get to have them.
Yeah, that's really great, Miguel. Yeah.
Out of curiosity, Miguel, if you don't mind me asking, you said that you grew up in an area where you didn't have all these services and accessibility and accessible technology for blind people. How did you survive in that environment, or how did you adapt?
It was really hard. I was the only blind person that I grew up in my K-12 system, and that got lonely pretty easily because I didn't really connect with other kids my age. You know, they're out driving tractors and moving hand lines, and I'm not doing either of those things. And so that was super hard. I had to get training, mobility training, cane training, through outside resources that had to come into the little town for me to go out and just get some practice in. But it didn't happen to almost middle school or high school that, like, we went out to the city. It was like 45-minute drive out there for me to experience, you know, how to cross a real street with real traffic and stuff like that. And it was really nerve-wracking as a teenager, because I didn't really get to have that experience of, you know, living in a city. Like, a lot of, you know, there's a lot of blind people that get to do that, and that's, you know, that's great for them, you know, but I didn't know. And so sometimes it's still hard when I acclimate into a city. Even though I've been here, living here for quite a while, I still find it a little bit hard to acclimate sometimes. And so, but it just takes work and lots of practice.
That sounds so difficult, but I'm glad that you have the technology now.
Oh, absolutely.
Get about, do everything. And, hearing, the different technologies and ways of access is so fascinating, especially when I was behind the camera and listening to it. And I had to do a lot of research for the different kinds of technology that Miguel, Anne, and Andrew use.
Yeah.
And it's so cool. Like,
it is definitely
we've
so
come
cool.
such a long way, human society, with technology.
We definitely have.
So October is also a National Disability Employment Awareness Month. And how can the Living with Blindness series help employers improve the work environment and kind of just spread awareness of disability culture in general?
That's a good question.
You know, Disability Employment Month is one that's super important to me. You know, like, for me as a blind person living with a disability and working three different jobs, I feel so grateful, you know, that I got in those opportunities. I know, for me as an advocate for the blind and other people with disabilities, how difficult it is to, you know, get jobs and keep jobs, you know, especially with us living with disabilities. It doesn't matter if they're inner or exterior, you know, we all have our own challenges and we all face. I think what the important things of employers should know is that as people with disabilities, we are equipped as well. I think there's just a lot of fears that go into companies, and that it's too expensive for someone with disabilities. But it's really, there's so many aspects of the beautiful things that, you know, someone with a disability can bring to your table. Like, for example, for me, when I go into an interview or I go into some area, I've been told many times at jobs, and that's unfortunate, but it doesn't stop me from always trying something new. And I always figure out, I'm a problem solver, so I love solving different issues and quick on my feet. And so I think that's one of my best ascertained attributes about myself that I can pivot and find solutions to issues that are occurring. And it's definitely something that, like, for me, Disability Employment Month means a lot, because we still have a long ways to go. You know, it's said that, like, only 30% of blind people work, you know, or people with disabilities, maybe even less. And that's definitely sad, because a lot of those people probably have some really good skill sets that they could definitely use. What do you think, Esher? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I don't have a lot of, like, knowledge with disability awareness, because only recently I was diagnosed with ADHD. Mm-hmm. And it was a very hard thing. And I always thought that I was pretty normal before that. But just the definition of normal, it differs from people to people. But yeah, definitely on the idea, I agree with you, Miguel, that there should be equal employment just for even people with disability. And especially, it's so sad to hear those statistics of just the low numbers of employment for people with disability and stuff.
Yeah, and I was diagnosed with autism when I was 31, so very late diagnosis on my end. And that was pretty normal for girls and people raised as girls in the 90s. It was thought that if we didn't have it on a, like, really severely, then it was just thought we had a different condition, or we were lazy, or we were just socially awkward, and whatever typical label girls and people raised as girls were given at the time. And I had that label as difficult and lazy and just not trying hard enough for years and years. And when I finally got diagnosed with autism, not only did I get closure, but I also got a voice, and I was able to kind of advocate for myself, like, hey, I am different. This is what I need now. And I don't have to really believe what you say about me anymore. So to me, Disability Awareness Month is very empowering for me. At least for me it is. I know that there's still a lot of stigma around disability, but there is something very empowering about owning your disability, owning your brain. And that's kind of what I always tell people in the neurodivergent community. Own your brain. It's what, it's your brain. It's your neural connections. It's who you are. And even if it's not what the professor or employer says it should be, just take what they're saying and just kind of convert it into a form that works for you. And that's kind of the power of hiring disabled employees in general, because we have to do that all the time, as Asher and Miguel have described too. We have to just take what is normal for everyone else and make it, I guess, workable for us, functional for us, if that's the best way to put it. I'm not sure.
That's a really good way to put it.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think, you know, we're all individual. We all have our own unique strengths. And so owning and holding close our own strengths and our own abilities, I think, as people, that can help us out as well, regardless of, you know, having a disability or not, you know. But, like, what people don't understand is that anyone could get a disability at any point in their lives. You know, we're not prone to always be, you know, people are not prone to always being, you know, 100%, you know, functional human beings. You know, anyone can unfortunately get a disability, but it's how you want to take it. It's how you want to own it as a person. And it's how, like I tell people, blindness is just part of me. It's not who I am, but it's just part of my life. And I embrace it. And I know other people do not, and that's okay. That's their journey and their aspirations. And so please, you know, have grace with different people with disabilities, listeners, because you just don't know where they're out in their community or in their experiences. And so having a little bit of grace and some understanding and asking some questions, because sometimes, you know, they may just want someone to have them listen to them and know that they're being heard. And if there's anyone out there with disabilities, like, you know that you're being heard, know that what your feelings are valid, know that what you face with each day and how much you try and give 100% of your day, you are valid, you are worthy, and you are amazing in each and every way that you are.
Preach, Miguel.
Yeah,
preach.
Definitely.
Preach. That's so powerful.
So
I know. So one of the things I wanted to ask before we wrapped up were probably the silliest or dumbest misconceptions people have about your disabilities.
Oh, there's so many.
I know. Like, the one I always heard about with blindness, at least from other with other blind people, is do people really ask you to touch their face?
I have, unfortunately.
Why? Why do people do that? That is so weird.
So strange.
Why would so you? Definitely strange. Absolutely, I agree with you, Amanda. I think it. Okay, I understand. I know why that one is, because it's what's it's perceived in the movies and what like. This is why it's not a good idea, and I don't mean to like bash anyone who's in acting.
Oh,
but
I
this
get
is
it.
Why we need blind people to be actors, and this
exactly.
is why we need blind people to be blind roles on different things, because you need to have the actual experience. Because it's I've been asked like, you're blind, you must have like super hearing, you must be Daredevil, and so I'm always compared to Daredevil, and I'm like, no,
what?
I'm just a human being. I'm just going to work, man. That's all I'm doing. I'm you know, doing my daily routine, and so I get a lot of different comments when I'm taking Uber rides, and so just like the misconception of like people not understanding and not like it's just like unfathomable for them, like, whoa, you're blind and you're like on your own. It's like, yeah, I just happen to be blind and I can take care of myself. And or like one of them was like, oh, you can cook? I'm like, yeah, I can cook. You don't need your sight to cook. I mean, there's different technologies, and Astra, we can literally have another video.
Oh my gosh, I'd be so excited about cooking
and stuff like that. Stay tuned, you guys, because you guys may get some of that. So
you should do that for your YouTube channel, Miguel.
I definitely should. That would be Cooking with Miguel.
We don't want to plug that, but that's
no, we're not plugging that now. Not plugging that in now. But
well, no, we're not plugging it in. I'm just saying that would be a great YouTube video.
Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah. What are the different technologies? Yes, absolutely. I think another misconception is that like people with disabilities are superheroes, and no, we're not superheroes. We're people. We're humans at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. What about you guys? What are some of the misconceptions you guys feel like face?
I think.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think for myself, at least, whenever I mentioned like ADHD, people honestly thought that I would be like hyper and like jumping all over the place. Like that was. But it's not true. Like, I tend to be like very calm and on the more like quiet side, especially early in the mornings. But. Yeah, no, I think just the biggest thing for me was that I couldn't focus very well, especially on like small tasks or like repetitive tasks. I always had to like switch over to do something else or like vice versa. And I was good at multitasking, which was a very big surprise to me. I honestly thought if I had ADHD, I just couldn't multitask. And I was like, nope, I can.
So with autism, it's kind of something similar, although probably the biggest misconception I get is people assuming it's okay to say, oh my God, you're so brave for disclosing you have autism. My mom works with kids with autism, or my son has autism, and just basically this really weird, like, you're so brave speech, which I don't get, and why I don't understand why people think I would appreciate that. I'm not telling you my condition for you to pity me. I'm telling you this so you can communicate with me, so you can work with me, so I can work with you.
Yeah.
And it's also just this assumption that we have like no emotion or don't really care about people. We do care about people. We do care about people, and we do love people, but we just express it differently, and I happen to be pretty selective about who I trust.
Yeah.
So that's, and I've also had like one person asked if I needed an interpreter in an interview. Don't ask me why.
Yeah.
I have no idea why they asked me that at all.
Interpreter?
I don't even know what that means.
You were doing like sign language or something?
I have no idea. We were both speaking English. And I never asked for an interpreter of any kind. They just brought that up.
What? Okay. I mean, yeah. All right. Yeah, no, I think we need to wrap up here.
Yeah,
in a little
definitely.
Bit.
So, this was a great conversation, though,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, thank you so much, Miguel, so for great. Like.
Yeah, thank yeah, you.
Telling us all about like white cane awareness and just like advocating for people with blindness and that we're all humans,
yes,
no matter
absolutely.
What disability that we have.
Yes.
Yeah. Any final thoughts, you guys, before we wrap up?
Well, this was a really great experience for us as a team. And please make sure to, you know, check us out when we get to have this experience together. And so we're so excited to
share this YouTube experience with you guys, and can't wait to have you guys' feedback and whatever you guys would like to know. If you guys have any other, you know, ideas or suggestions, you know, mm-hmm. let us know in the comments of when we put a post or stuff out. So we would love to hear from you guys
and
know what's new, you know, what would you guys like to know.
Mm-hmm. And also don't be afraid to ask us questions and have discussions with us, and don't try to come up with accommodations for us without talking to us.
Talk to us first, please.
Yes. Talk to us first, please. Do not make assumptions. Talk to us.
Yes. Well, on that note, thank you for listening to Let's Talk Portland Community College's broadcast about disability culture. Find more information and resources concerning this episode and others at pcc.edu/DCA. You can also find linked resources on today's episode page hosted on kboo.fm. Search for Let's Talk. This episode was produced by the Let's Talk Podcast Collective as a collaborative effort between students, the Accessible Education and Disability Resource Department, the PCC Multimedia Department, and KBOO. We post newly recorded content bi-weekly on our home website. Again, that's pcc.edu/DCA. And we hope you always tune into our shows here on KBOO every first and fourth Friday of the month at 9 a.m. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.